This is your Friday Best Bits on Red Radio.
Welcome back to Red Radio. We are now going into our Best Bits this Friday. All the Best Bits from throughout the week on Red Radio. You can actually catch all of the shows that you hear today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. So yes, enjoy your Friday wind down and have a fantastic weekend. Red Radio will be back live in person Monday, 3 p.m.
Live with Sam and Harrison
on Red Radio, broadcasting live 24/7.
So, I want to talk about this man, George C. Parker, right? So, he's an American con man. He was born on the 16th of March in 1860. So, basically what this guy did is, for 30 years, he sold the Brooklyn Bridge twice a week for $50,000. Between $50 and $50,000 to tourists. So, I don't know if you can imagine, back you see this guy wearing his top hat, his suit, and he walks up to tourists and he's like, here's the Brooklyn Bridge, it's yours for $50,000. I mean, would you ever buy the Brooklyn Bridge for $50,000? Do you think you're ever that gullible, Jed?
No, I mean, that seems like a fantastic deal to me. I mean, the worth of the Brooklyn Bridge must be hundreds of millions of dollars. For just $50,000 for the whole Brooklyn Bridge.
For $50, sometimes you could just you have the right to the Brooklyn Bridge. So,
you know, I would take the cars. The cars on the bridge must be worth enough to pay that off. You're like, yeah, this is my private property.
Everybody's cars on here is mine. I'm impounding it. It's mine. So this guy, what he also did, as he sold the Brooklyn Bridge, like twice a week. So he finds a new person, a new tourist, every twice a week, sells them the Brooklyn Bridge. And then what they do, they go put up toll gates on the Brooklyn Bridge. So they're these tourists, I don't know where from, probably from like England or something, they're tourists here, putting up toll gates on the Brooklyn Bridge to toll people going past a public bridge, which they apparently own, inverted commas, which they just bought for $50,000. I mean, it's amazing.
So, yeah. I can imagine.
This guy was also an even bigger con man, because he also ran some Ponzi schemes. So, for those of you that don't know how Ponzi schemes works, is you basically go up to like two people and you say, "Give me 10 rand now, I'll give you 12 rand later." Then you go to four people and you say, "Give me 8 rand now, I'll give you 10 rand later." So then you keep on getting more money, and then you pay the people above in the tiers, and then you don't actually make money. You're just taking other people's money and taking other people's money and giving it to other people. Now, the problem with these is what happens when you run out of people. I mean, you must have done some like serious things, walking around and be like, yeah, I'll just trust me, I'll bring you your money in a week. But then you run out of people. And then you can't pay off your Ponzi scheme. The people above you start getting angry. Police get involved. And then, yeah, I don't know. And then there's pyramid schemes. What do you feel on pyramid schemes? The whole thing is like, sell this amount of stuff you get to raise your tier.
I think pyramid schemes can be, I think, very rewarding for some people. I've seen some people, they love pyramid schemes. It gives them something to do. I mean, the problem is when they don't make a profit, but some people are making a profit. I think the biggest problem with pyramid schemes is when the products are like rubbish sometimes, but everyone's just so invested in it and believes so strongly that the product is fantastic. Like, there was a thing
essential
called
oils.
It was a new skin.
New skin.
It was a multi-level pyramid scheme. So what they did was they basically had these, like, they sold toothpaste and cream, and somehow my mother got to buying one of these products from, I think, someone at her office, and it was
like a level
rubbish.
3 distributor.
No, I think they were bottom of the
barrel. Did she wrap her in, or did she just buy?
No, she just bought her. She just bought her one cream and one toothpaste, both of which were absolute garbage.
So I think it's, they did some research and they said, some people did some research and they said, you're only actually benefiting from a pyramid scheme if you're in the top 3 tiers. So if you're not in the top three tiers, you're not going to be making money or gaining any benefits from pyramid schemes or in new skins place in multi-level marketing. So it's all just like, and also when they're selling products that don't like actually mean anything.
Yeah, that's the problem with the pyramid schemes. You can only have 13 levels, and if there's 5 people per level, I mean 5 people at the top level, once you're on 13 levels, that's the whole world. That's every human being on the planet in your pyramid scheme, 13 levels.
Yeah, on the 13th level, there's not enough people in the world to run the pyramid scheme, yeah. And then, so this guy, the one that sold the Brooklyn Bridge twice a week for around $50,000, got sent to jail. And what he did is when he was in jail at Sing Sing Prison, that's also a funny name for a prison, Sing Sing Prison.
What a name. I feel like living in the 1800s must have been pretty cool. Got guys getting bridges, Sing Sing Prison.
Sing Sing Prison sounds pretty cool. But anyway, what this guy did is he stole the sheriff's hats and jackets and just walked out of the prison. And then he got caught and sentenced for life in Sing Sing Prison.
Live with McCorna and Chloe on Red Radio.
For the students, by the students. It's Red Radio, starting off your day.
And we are back, and now we are going to be talking about how the Keeping Up with the Kardashians is ending.
I'm honestly sick. I was heartbroken. I was physically in pain. Like, when I found out now, because it's like, it's so entertaining. Just seeing how celebrities live, it's just, wow.
Literally. Like, and the Kardashians. And everything.
Right? Like, I started watching that show back in the day, you know, when Kylie and Kendall were still, like, very, very small kids. And, like, now, it's just, like, their age. They're old.
They're old.
And now the show is just continuing, and my heart is broken. Like, where are we going to get our Kim Kardashian memes from then?
Honestly.
Like, my earrings fell in the water, and it's like, there are people who are dying. I love that show so much. And it's just, like, even though, you know, like, it's so artificial and that life is just a bit much, it's like, it's so funny. Because it's like,
honestly.
Like, the way celebrities live, it's just, it's so interesting to watch. Like, how they move. Like, imagine waking up and saying, okay, let me go pick a car. Like, from a variety of cars.
Honestly, like, I wish.
Wow. Like, today I'm going to ride Lady. She's my royal flight. You know, like, I'm really proud of this car. I love it so much. This car was there when I won the Grammy Award. So, yeah. I love it, and I'm honestly going to miss that show so much. Just the energy that comes out of that show, it's beautiful, because it's just so bad. I love it. I love it so much. But let's just talk about how having fame is kind of bad for young people, you know?
It's weird, hey? Because even, there's so many young kids that are actually so famous. Like, okay, wait, if we think of it as in young, okay, so obviously, like, you know, Stormy, she's young, she's like that old baby, but, like, that's a bit different. But, like, you know, like, Charlie D'Amelio and all that, she's 16, and, like, obviously, she's like, no, the hate doesn't get to me and everything, and I'm all like, at one point, I think it would get to you, because, like, people are constantly hating you if you're more famous than them. Obviously, she's also quite pretty and everything. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, she's so pretty and everything. And it's like,
I think the problem with having fame at a young age is that, like, even for Stormy, right? Because, like, right now, obviously, there can't really be hate going towards her, but it's like, there's always going to be eyes on her, and I feel like it's going to be this pressure, this extreme pressure of knowing that everybody's watching me. If I make one wrong move, it'll be everywhere.
Imagine, like, the fear of people finding your address.
Right, like, imagine that kind of trauma, like, that kind of fear and trauma, because it's like, already some of us wouldn't even go on some apps because we're afraid that we're going to get stolen or caught. Like, it's for them,
stolen,
it's just like,
stolen
for real. So it's like, imagine how much pressure it must be to know that you're always being watched and someone's always looking for a problem, something that you're doing that's wrong, you know? So, I mean, yeah, it's a bit worrying. Yeah. It's a bit scary. Like, I feel like it's a very toxic environment for a child to grow up in that, like, environment. Like, it's very toxic for them. Because, yeah. like, with Charlie, like, Charlie D'Amelio, like, I feel for her because she's the same age as us. She's literally, like, our age mate. And it's like, she's getting all this hate thrown towards her for being her. And I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really sad. Like, I feel like she has to act a certain way in public and she can't do something. She can't have fun because having fun might get the whole world to, you know, hate her. Especially having, like, that many followers on their account. That's a big extreme.
Yeah.
But, you know, overall, it's a bit crazy how the whole thing works and just how fame is and how it moves.
Yeah, fame is just a weird topic. I don't think I really want to become famous.
I don't want to become famous.
Yeah, I mean, it must be hard. It is quite hard to be famous. I think, you know, you just have to take it in your stride. I mean, no one would know because it's a bit hard for me. But I am alone in my struggle of being famous at Red Hill.
Wow.
But I mean, but you know, you take it in your stride.
Everybody knows you. Thomas, shut up. Just because everybody knows you doesn't mean you're famous. You know,
guys, I have like 800, a solid 800 followers. Like, I mean, let's just be honest.
Okay, you might be famous on your little 800, like, whatevers. But I'm kind of TikTok famous, you know. Like, not to brag, but I have 1,000 likes on TikTok for all my videos.
Guys, my TikToks are so funny. If Red Radio, if only I could, like, show you my TikToks. I'm actually the funniest person living.
I just you know, I just want to put it out there, you know, I'm kind of the person who's coming with my lovely jokes all the time, so you know, I'm saying something but I'm not really saying
funny.
My jokes are lovely.
No,
my jokes are great. Like, everybody can agree my jokes are fantastic. Like, come on, you laugh, we all laugh. Like, they're so good. I mean, especially that one when I told you, like, why is Shakespeare afraid of pens? I only use pens because pencils confuse him to be or not to be.
Conan and Chloe bringing it all straight to you.
Send us a message in our chat section on our website or app.
Red Radio. For the students, by the students.
Oh my god, I'm going to cry when you guys
are here.
It's not funny.
Are you serious?
Literally, that's $75,000.
Wait,
is she
faking
it so much? No, I'm not. Man. Like, you know I'm not happy. You know I'm trying. You know I'm not happy. You know I'm trying.
Get out if you're going to continue.
You don't really act. You don't sing. You don't dance. You don't have any, any talent.
Kylie Jenner to the foyer. I have a little surprise for you.
All the best from throughout the week, right here on Red Radio.
Okay, everyone. So you should know David and I by now. We've been doing this for quite a long time. But I feel like I actually don't know who David Karayuki is. David, do you know who I am?
Sorry, what's your name again?
Very funny. Anyway, guys, I've literally hit Google and been top 20 questions to ask someone. And so David and I are literally going to interview each other. Because as you know, on the David and Ali show, it wouldn't be a Wednesday afternoon unless we interviewed someone. So, David, I have my first question for you. What is the craziest, most outrageous thing you want to achieve?
Okay, I want to buy Chelsea Football Club one day.
Oh, my word. Okay. How are you going to do that? What's like, the five-step plan?
So, like, I have this really cool app idea planned out that I want to pursue when I'm older. And, like, create this app, and hopefully that'll making some big bucks, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, what is your guilty pleasure?
My guilty pleasure. Oh my goodness, what is? Oh, cheesecake.
Baked cheesecake. Ooh, baked cheesecake is good. Have you ever had that salted caramel one from Woolies? That's really good. Okay,
no,
anyway.
But that's not baked.
Oh my gosh, rubbish. Number three. What do you bring with you everywhere you go?
My phone.
Okay, yeah. Besides your phone?
Besides my phone. Remember when we were in Europe, I used to carry that fanny pack around all the time.
Me too, I also had a fanny pack. Okay, great. Next question. If you had intro music, what song would it be and why?
It has to be Liquidator. Liquidator. Okay. Guys, everyone go onto Spotify, Apple Music. Hopefully you have Spotify. Listen to Liquidator. I know I said we mentioned football, but it's the beginning of, it's like the song that they play every match in the morning, right? And it just, it makes you so happy. It has nothing to do with the sport or anything, but it just makes you so happy.
I think Thomas is whipping it up right now.
Everyone, we have to listen to Liquidator.
Okay, here we go. What is this, David?
Hey, yay, yay.
This is
yay,
terrible.
Oh, I love that.
That is arguably the worst thing I've ever heard.
I would be so embarrassed to walk into a song like this. So embarrassed.
Tom, doesn't it just get your groove moving? Yeah.
Maybe because no. I don't associate it with soccer. I'm sorry, football. Maybe if I, like, associated it with that, it would be different. But I'm sorry, all I'm hearing is, like, a silly little song that could be played on the xylophone. But besides the point...
Oh, my God.
Dave...
That is so rude.
Okay, let's go. Two more questions. Rapid fire. Is happiness an end goal or simply a byproduct of other things?
Oof.
Say that again?
Is happiness an end goal or simply a byproduct?
Do I have to pick one or the other?
I mean, give me your answer.
I don't think happiness is an end goal. I think happiness is, like, you know, something that you can find as you go along through life. So I guess I'd say it's a byproduct.
Okay. But like a continuous byproduct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then this one, I know you really want to get into this, so I have a really big question for you. What book has influenced you the most?
Right. It's a book by Mark Manson called The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F-Word. Right? We bought it at the beginning of the year, but as you know, I don't read. So I only read it when we have load shedding.
Okay, which has occurred quite often recently.
So I've started the book, and basically, it's, you know, the subtitle's A Counterintuitive Approach to Living a Good Life. And the first part of the book talks about the feedback loop from Hull. So it's when you think about something, and then, or say you're worrying about something, right? And then you're thinking about why you're worrying about that thing, and then you're feeling guilty for worrying about that thing. Like, do you know what I mean?
I think so.
It's like things about that. It just gives you like a helpful guide, you know, to overthinking and to just accept things in life. So like stop trying to, you know, forever try and be better than this person else. So stop trying to forever achieve what this person has achieved. Just accept, you know, the bad things in life. Accept the things that happen when you feel sad. Accept and acknowledge that you're feeling sad. You know, instead of just trying to be more all the time.
I really think
it's an interesting book. I'd recommend it to everyone.
Yeah. Aren't there a couple in, like, a series? Aren't there a few of them?
I think so. I think the other one is called Everything is Effed. A book on hope, something like that. Yeah.
Because there's, like, an orange one and a blue one, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's the blue one.
There's David's weekly book review for anyone who ever wants that. Sounds like a good book. I think I'll be popping out to Exclusive Books before we... In the show, I'm going to run over there and buy that book.
Live with Sam and Harrison
on Red Radio, broadcasting live 24/7.
And welcome back. So, Judd, I want to know, do you collect anything, like Pokemon cards or coins or anything?
I actually collect many things. I do collect Pokemon cards. My collection's quite nice, actually.
Some say it's
fantastic and amazing.
I think my Pokemon cards will outdo you any day of the week. Me and my water deck will outdo you any day of the week in a Pokemon.
No. My
don't
water
try
deck.
Me. I'll
no,
flip
no,
coins,
no, 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 no. My
roll
water
dices.
Deck is yours.
I'll flip coins, roll dices, and chuck cards on the table just to beat you.
Yeah,
watch it.
But you want to know something cool? Here, your main deck's a water deck. My main deck is it's a leaf deck. So you just got wrecked.
I did, but. Why? Not okay. It's fine. It's a fine. My fidget spinner collection will beat yours, though.
I mean,
I've got the Captain America fidget spinner, the fancy oil slick one. You know, one of those.
I have a collection of 20-something fidget spinners. They're just someone at home
they just took them. China.
So I don't know. Someone else has them, but they are mine. I do own them.
They are mine somewhere.
I have a pretty nice Funko Pop collection, if you want to play.
Nah, I collect ducks. Like little rubber ducks. Like
oh, that's pretty cool. Those are cooler than Funko Pops.
I think they are cooler, because I got an idea from my cousin in England. He, like, has them, and he has a bunch of, like, ducks. He has, like, one wearing, like, a Queen's Guard hat, and then he has a West Ham duck. So I was like, whoa, that's pretty sick. So then I started collecting ducks, because I thought it would be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, so, just listening to the news with Genevieve now, I heard they'd started collecting coronavirus in England.
okay. So, I googled what the most collected thing was. And it's antique furniture followed by vinyl records and comic books. Now, I think that's a bit of, like, out of our generation. Because do you have any... I think I have, like, two comic books. And that was when my mom was like, maybe you should try reading something. Because I didn't like reading, and my mom was like, maybe he'll read comic books. So I have two comic books that they're unopened. They're still in the plastic. I mean, I don't think they're worth that much. But, I mean... do you have vinyl records or antiques in your... Do you collect antiques?
No, I mean, I have antique in furniture in my room. It's just because my parents needed to put it somewhere. I have, like, one or two comic books, but, I mean, most of my comic book collection is digital. Way easier that way, because I'm, like, a Zoomer, so...
I don't know if I can do that whole comic book thing. It's a bit confusing for me. And I don't understand it.
Yeah, it does get a bit much.
I need voiceovers and acting. That would be great if a comic book was there was acting and voiceovers in a comic book.
Wouldn't that just be a movie?
It would, but I think it would be great. And then I collect coins as well. I'm quite the collector.
Really? What's your rarest coin that you believe?
My rarest coin is probably a coin that has a big hole in it from like Japan or something.
That's wow. Don't all of those coins have big holes in them? Big square hole?
No, it's like a hexagonal hole in my coin that I collect. It's pretty good. I mean, it's probably worth more in metal than the actual monetary value of the money is, but but anyway, I collect my coins if I find any. Because my grandfather gave me a bunch of coins, and then I was, like, collecting, and then... It's a mission to sort out. I mean, keeping track of them. So I kind of just put them all in a big tub. I kind of, like, just gave in to the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like a pretty cool thing to collect. There's lots of different coins. I wonder how many different types of, like, current coins that are in use there are.
Oh, I mean, yeah, there's that whole thing where you collect, like, the different, like, the 50-cent like, or something coins from like America. You get the George Washington one, and like you get like this book, and you like it's like there's only like it's only of one value of coin, and you have to like try fill it with like all the different like eras of coins. Because even with the South African 2 rand coins, there's the one with the flag, and there's one with the people marching, and then there was a new one that I saw this year. It was like a 2020 coin. I don't remember what it was, but they release a new coin. Like, every year. And I've still got some of that old, like, old money. Do you remember the old, like, the old money with the bad pictures?
Before
the money became ultra-saturated.
I mean, that money seemed, like, cool at the time. Like, at the time, I don't think anyone thought there was a problem with it. But looking back at it now, I mean, it looks like a soggy piece of paper.
Soggy piece of paper. Yeah. And then, classic cars is the next one on the list. Do you have any classic cars, Jed?
So, I personally don't, but I am set to inherit a Mazda Yunos Roadster, which is the Japanese version of the MX-5. That's quite a classic, that car. It's about 25
years old. I know
exactly
what you're talking about. Hey, that MX Roadster or something. Yeah. I know all about cars. Hey? I know about the spoiler and the engine and the steering wheel. All about the cars.
That engine, it's cool, eh?
And then, I also collect, I collect a lot of things. I guess you could actually call me a hoarder, maybe. You know, probably not a hoarder. But I've got these, like, little rocks, you know, you go to, like, it's called the scratch patch. by Cape Town. It's like a big pit of stones where like a bunch of other little snotty kids run around, pick up stones and put it in their little bucket and put the stones in and could take them home and put them in a little bag. So when I went there, and this must have been when I was like 10, I went there and I was searching around, I was trying to find the best stones or whatever, to fill up my cup with the bestest stones. And I found this little nugget that looked like gold. So I was like, Mom, Dad, I found some gold. So they didn't know what it was. They took it to the person supervising, and they went up to the desk and got the little sheet of all the different stones you could find. And we figured out that it was actually Fool's gold. It was pyrite. So, I mean, it was kind of depressing, but also the chances of getting that was quite hectic from the Fool's gold. So, yeah, that's what I collect. You collect any wine, Judd? Any wine or fine art and jewelry?
So,
are you a collector of fine art and jewelry?
I would love to collect fine art. I don't, I'm not employed most of the time. Usually don't have a salary. So
usually when I am employed, I don't have a salary.
Yeah. So it's quite hard to collect fine art, but I do admire fine art quite a bit. I mean, and I can see why adults would collect it.
I don't get the whole concept of modern art. I mean, it seems like a scam. I don't know what's more of a scam, selling the Brooklyn Bridge or buying into fine art.
I think fine art's less of a scam. The one time you didn't get anything in the one transaction. So
I mean, you did get a fake little certificate that said you owned.
Oh, that's true. I could have made that in Photoshop in 15 minutes if you want.
I mean, if you made that in Photoshop 200 years ago, I would have been very impressed.
I guess the same could be said for the fine art. You could be like, I can make that in Photoshop in 15 minutes.
I'm sure if Leonardo da Vinci saw your abstract art, I think he'd be quite disappointed. It's where is the fine brushwork and the realistic characteristics of the oil painting on the special canvas?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I think we're dipping into the wrong era there. Maybe we should be comparing the contemporary art to a realist era. But you can come with your argument if you want.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get the whole thing of art, but collecting is fun. It's like a hobby. I also got lucky beans. You know the lucky beans? The little red beans that fall off the tree?
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
You don't know what lucky beans are. It's okay. It's fine. Lucky beans, I'm sure some of the people listening know what lucky beans are. They're the real homies. They're the lucky bean plugs.
Well, I collect flash drives. I'm sure everyone listening will know what a flash drive is. 100% of the audience.
No, I've got one flash drive and it's filled with four movies because it's 16 gigabytes. So.
But you see, you have one. Everyone has one flash drive that actually works or they know where it is. But the amount of flash drives per household must be much higher than that one.
What is the flash drive per household ratio? Probably 22 or something.
That's pretty high. You can imagine all the flash drives that go missing.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so that was us talking about collecting. And the most collected thing is antique furniture and vinyl records. So we'll be back into it after the short break.
Insightful, raw,
and real.
With Mizzy and George. It's Red Radio starting off your day. For the students, by the students.
Our show is starting a little bit late today, but you know what? It's a Thursday. We're all tired already. So if you guys don't remember us, we were on the show last week. George and Lizzie, we were talking about the response to activism. Right, George? Do you remember that?
I remember that, yes.
I'm so glad. So just to carry on with that chain, we are going to be talking kind of about the response to kind of coronavirus around the world. It's going to be, I think, a little bit more lighthearted today, and maybe we'll talk a little bit more about South Africa instead of countries no one's ever heard of.
Like America.
Yeah, exactly, like America. So today I'd like to start out just by just talking about our lockdown, because I think we're all kind of, lockdown, postpartum depression of lockdown. We're not really used to being allowed outside. So apparently, South Africa specifically had an incredibly intense lockdown. We were really, if you look at it on a spectrum, we had incredibly intense but also very productive lockdown. You know,
what do you think? Yeah, it was very, it was kind of cruel. Some of the laws were very, very...
Talking about the one with alcohol, is that the one?
Yeah, I am.
So, I mean, but apparently it was very, very effective. And from the standpoint of people inside hospitals, it was, you know, you could see the difference when, you know, the government banned alcohol. There was suddenly, you know, an incredible increase in people rushing into hospitals. But when alcohol wasn't banned, for example, shame, George, sorry, when it wasn't banned, hospitals were much emptier, and the lockdown worked, hey. It genuinely decreased the rates in hospitals, the inflow. It was very productive. But she told me, this woman who works at these public hospitals, she told me that as soon as the alcohol ban was lifted, you suddenly had, hundreds of people flooding in with knives in their eyes, but also coughing, you know.
Cool.
Yeah. As you have in South Africa.
That's cool.
Yeah, I just remember thinking that was very, very funny because, you know, you're bleeding out, but it's also, you know, you also have coronavirus and you're also actively spreading. It's so funny. Am I right? Right, George? Laugh with me, George, please.
No. yeah, that's intense. But I guess the alcohol ban did have, I mean, I would be interesting to see, like, the long-term effects of it. Like, what happens long-term?
Well, I'm just wondering, what do you do if you're an alcoholic? I don't...
Yeah, that's the part where it gets messy, because, like, it's not easy to quit, and then suddenly you take it off immediately. Like, take it away from them immediately.
The government's enforced rehab can't be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it can't be fun, yeah.
So we're going to get back to South Africa, I promise. But I just, George, you were telling me about Trump again. We're just going to go back to America just for a little bit, you know, the country no one's ever heard of, and just talk about his response to America. Just because if you look at it from a graphical point of view, and I did graph research because I'm an expert and a professional, and he laughed, George, it's funny. So artificial. Anyway, so on a graph, America is doing incredibly below average in terms of the way to handle it, the death rate, the what's it when people get infected, the infection rate. It's a bit of a disaster there. But you were telling me, George, earlier about what Trump was – something very special about Trump, which came to light this week. Would you like to explain?
Well, essentially, there's this journalist – Woodward, he's like a very famous journalist. He took down Richard Nixon, basically.
Oh, yeah. Quite a career then, you know.
Yeah. He's still alive.
Yeah.
But anyway, he managed to get audio of Trump saying how deadly the coronavirus was back in February. And he was saying that in private, and which is the exact opposite thing of what he was saying in public, which was the coronavirus is not deadly at all. You don't need to, don't need to wear any masks. It's just like the flu. So basically, he kind of proved that Trump was actively downplaying a threat to America because of political reasons.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a little, you know, he kind of came out and was like, no, these Democrats are upplaying the virus. Dr. Fauci, who is, you know, if you don't know, he's, you know, a very well-respected doctor in America.
Yeah.
Very, very public figure as well. He was like, guys, wear your masks. This is not just a cold. And, Trump pretty much ignored him, and there was a lot of beef that went on there, but we won't get into that.
But I don't understand is like Dr. Fauci is literally, he's like on, he was on like the same like cabinet as Trump. Like, I don't understand, how do you like disagree with a guy that you like kind of appointed? It makes
relationships makes come sense. Hard, okay? They could be friends, you know, stuff could be going on. Someone could be sleeping with Melania, you know, you don't know what's happening.
Okay. He was voted the sexiest man alive.
Ah,
Dr. Fauci.
I think that's all we're going to really talk about America today, because we did touched on it a lot last week, and I think that for people who don't keep up with American politics, you know, have social lives and that sort of thing, you know, and aren't nerds, it becomes a little bit difficult to follow. So I think we're going to go back to South Africa after the break. And also, I think we're going to be talking about misconceptions surrounding coronavirus. A lot of them are very funny. I think we're going to be talking about that. So I have quite a few stories, and I think George does as well. Shane, the poor elderly.
Love the elderly.
Okay, and I think that's it for now, and I think we're going to go into news very shortly. Right, George? That should be
entertaining. Yeah, I know. That should be entertaining. You were about 40 seconds too short there.
Yeah. As well. Yes, so, well, news is always very entertaining, usually very...
So we'll just hype up the news for the next 30 seconds. Good, because news is coming, guys.
Inside the conversation.
Beyond the facade.
And into the truth with Lizzie and George.
On Red Radio.
So back to what we were talking about, we agreed and we promised everyone that we would talk about, let's say, the elderly's, to be polite and politically correct, the elderly's response to coronavirus and the way that they have reacted. So for example, I'll go first. I have a teacher, not at Redhill, just, you know, keep things legal, not at Redhill, who is completely under the impression that coronavirus is a government hoax and that the government is trying to repress us and keep us inside, and that's why they've created this lie that is coronavirus. And she thinks that anyone who goes out wearing a mask is very stupid, but then she does it anyway. I don't, you know, it's...
yeah.
It's one of those
it's really hard to, you know, I mean, it's obvious, it's really obvious that it's like a conspiracy and like...
Yes, no, it is. I really, it's
but
not...
But like, you still don't want to die from it,
yes,
you know,
no,
what I mean?
Yes, no, it's not insensitive at all to people who are dying. And you were telling me you have a teacher, a similar teacher.
Yeah, well, I know someone, yeah, he was like, he's a teacher, and he's also quite old. he's not in Redhill, and he was like... It's like, you know how you, like, listen here, kid, you know how you're going to stop the coronavirus?
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And he's like, I've been reading up about it. And it's like, you got to eat rice. he's like, you got to eat a lot of rice, kid. And I promise you, it'll go away. Just keep on, like, I don't know if he was trying to sell me rice. I don't know. Like, maybe he had, like, another company on. I don't know. And then I have another, like, person who I know who's also, I mean, he's, like, young. I mean, but he's like middle aged.
Yeah.
But he's like saying that it's like made in China. It's like a virus. It's like they manufactured it, yes. And like they let it do something. It's a pretty common one.
It is a pretty common one. Yeah. I'm just thinking about the other teacher, what he teaches, and then on the side he's just got, you know, an underground rice business.
Right.
He's trying to, you know, sell his students the rice. Yeah. So I have a story as well. I was speaking to, let's say, an elderly person I know quite well, and she came up to me and she was like, Liz, I have a cure for the coronavirus. I was like, really? That's amazing. And she was like, I found this thing online. It says that it says underneath it, it's 100% proven to kill the virus, 100%. It's like, oh, sure, let me see it. And it was like, you must just drink lots of hot water and lemon juice. And it kills the virus. And that's the community. Like, oh, and it's been proven. Yes. It says so on the internet. Therefore, it's fact. It's been proven.
Yeah, I don't know. I was watching this video of, like, this, like, he was, like, a pastor. And he was, like, mm-hmm. like, he also, like, he was, like, this is, like, we've got it. Like, we've found the cure, people. I mean, basically, he got investigated by the FBI because he was, like, fraudulent. And it was just like this, like, it was like this, like, mineral, but it didn't do anything. It was actually, like, toxic or something.
Oh, was it?
But he was like...
That's nice. No.
He was like, this is it. This is the cure.
I also heard that, just going back to what we were talking about in hospitals, she's saying that the rate of oxygen has gone up incredibly, but also the rate of steroids, because you use, it's now common practice to use steroids to treat coronavirus. So when you leave...
Really?
Yeah, no, it's something. There's something in steroids. So when you leave hospital after getting coronavirus, it's 100% proven that you just go out really jacked. All of them. You'll just see suddenly a lot of really jacked people walking around. George, I can see by your face you think I'm not joking. Of course I'm joking, George.
Yeah, okay, I was so confused for a second. I was like,
They do use steroids, but they don't, you know, no one walks out of hospital, you know.
Yeah, I don't think they, like recommend it. Like,
I mean, the closest thing they have at the moment, I mean, other than the Russian vaccination, which, you know, nobody wants to get the Russian vaccination because it came out too soon. But the government is making it compulsory. Like, you will have our vaccination.
That's...
You don't care.
They skipped every single trial. It's like they just put, like, this mixture and this mixture. Done.
Ah,
like,
this might work. Yeah,
this might work, yeah.
See what happens.
Like, it's so weird. I don't know why they would do that, because it's so risky, because if, like, people start taking it, like, the virus could, like, adapt to that, and then it sets back other vaccination, like, research, because that strain, it's just...
It feels like we're in the Cold War again, you know, and it's just trying to beat the Americans to the vaccination.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless of the risk to humans, you know, we will get there first. and so now another story I have is my grandmother, Shan, very, very elderly. She also, you know, the internet is still new to her. You know, she taps her phone, you know, like you are, you know what I mean? How elderly people tap their phones violently.
Oh, yeah. Well, to be honest, I also tap my phone.
Yes. Yes, you do, actually. That's not even. And she vigorously tapped her phone at me one day, and she sent me this long list of things you can do to cure yourself from coronavirus. And it was like all the normal things, you know, wash your hands, wear a mask. And then, you know, in the middle of the list, like, it had something, something bizarre just in the mix of all these ordinary things. Was, you know, wash your hands and also go home every night and put a blow dryer in your nose and leave it on for a while. Because the hot air kills the virus in your nose. Therefore, you must put a blow dryer in your nose. And it was just, and she genuinely believed that. She said, I'm going out to buy a new hair dryer today. You know.
Yeah.
You know?
I've seen that one as well. But I don't know. Do people just, like, make fake stuff up for fun?
I don't know. I think it's...
Or do they, like, actually believe it?
I know, it's a charm, you know, just, you know, drink bleach because it might help. Just try anything, you know.
Yeah.
That's...
Well, he said, no, we should inject bleach. Oh, like, he actually said, like, put it in you.
Oh, like,
which is even worse. Yeah.
Great.
Well, he highly recommended.
Okay, so we're going to jump to a song by Sam Fisher. It's called The City. Thank you.
Yes. Red Radio.
So we're going to just go back, and we've got one more thing to talk about today before we are finally finished for today's show, even though it started a bit late. So, George, I think that I keep my head pretty, you know, in what's kind of happening currently. But then I realized that I only actually do that for international politics, and I'm a terrible South African. And apparently somebody got very bored in quarantine and made a very racist ad, and there was something with clicks and the EFF. Please explain to me what happened. I'm so confused.
Well, that's basically it. The clicks people made, like, a really racist advert.
Wait, really? How? Clicks?
Yeah, clicks.
Wow. Well,
I didn't even see the advert. I just put, like, I watched, like, I hate watching adverts. Like, I can't watch any adverts, so I didn't really see it. I just knew it was racist.
Did you? Okay.
And I mean...
What happened? Yeah. What happened? How did this...
And then I think the EFF got really angry about that, which, I mean... They got, yeah, very tensions rose.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is that everyone's been trapped inside too long, and they needed a release. So they chose clicks. You know, they lost all judgment because they hadn't gone outside in a while, and the EFF needed to, you know, what is it? Expel their anger onto something. Would you say that's what happened? Because I don't know, really.
Well. Yeah, I think some of the anger is justified, because the ad was, like, apparently it was, like, like, shocking. But, yeah, I don't know the full story about how the EFF's, like, reaction to it. I just know that's what I'm also terrible at South African politics.
Okay, yeah. No.
I just know that the ad was, like, incredibly racist, and that I think some of the people in the marketing department for it have stepped down.
Oh, very nice. And very nice. You know, it does kind of feel a little bit like, we're copying America with all of these racists.
Yeah.
It does. Oh, hang on. I think I know which one I'm talking about. I think what they did was they compared, you know, a kind of black hair as being dry and, you know, damaged in comparison to white hair, which I think is not obviously not the case.
That's a big yikes.
Yeah, that's a little bit like, oh dear, do you not, wow, do, wow.
But like, also, how like tone deaf do you have to like, like who sits there and thinks this is going to like, this is going to work?
I know.
Like what?
And all the people it goes through, right? It's not just one person, you know, in the cupboard, you know, in the Clicks marketing department going, ooh, this will really get people. No, it's a whole group of people who go, yeah, no, in 2020, this seems tasteful. This seems like a good idea. This doesn't seem, you know, like something that would have been played in the 1950s. You know, I just really... And
you pay less at Clicks.
Yeah. Great. Thank you, George. Thank you. So I think that's, wow, I just got this information out. That's actually shocking, frankly.
Well, actually, you did, and I did message you, like, the other day saying
yes,
that.
Yes, no.
But never mind.
I don't really pay attention much to what's going on in South Africa, because I feel like if you pay attention to what's going on overseas, it's kind of like a reality TV show. You know, in South Africa, it's a bit too real. You know, overseas, you look at Trump and go, ah, will he sleep with his daughter? Will he, won't he? Find out on next episode, you know. Next
year
on, you know, Trump in the White House. I mean, but for South Africa, it's a little bit too real, you know.
Yeah, well, for me, I find, like, sometimes it's like South Africa, like, I enjoy listening to news and watching news, but sometimes people can be, like, really, really cynical. And it's just like, okay. Like, but I guess that's actually, like, I feel like that's with every, like, if we went to, like, Denmark, they'd probably, like, be really cynical about...
Denmark, you know, Norway.
But then,
we live in the richest country in the world.
Though. Yeah.
Everything's a disaster, you know.
Yeah.
God, we only have, you know, like, three pavements, one on either side and in the middle of the road. It's just this real disaster.
Yeah, actually, if any, like of those countries, like, complain too much, then it's like, okay, you're just like... No, I'm just...
God, our roads are too good.
Yeah.
Too good.
David and Ali on the run.
All right, guys, we're going to head into a Shazam Top 20.
You are now tuned.
Nothing but non-stop hits on Red Radio.
For the students, by the students. You are too perfect, you don't need no
filter. Streaming live across the world.
That is Kings and Queens, which is number 20 by Ava Max.
I never knew a song could describe me so well. Number 19 is Lovely by Billie Eilish and Pink.
This is Sunday Best by Surfaces, and it's your number 18.
Hey, feeling good, like I should, when in the walk around the neighborhood.
I'm sure Ed Sheeran was talking about me in this song. Number 17 is Shape of You.
I'm coming now, follow my lead. I'm coming now, follow my lead. I'm in love with the shape of you. Push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling too, I'm in love with your body.
Señorita is in at number 16 by Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello.
Sapphire and moonlight, we dance for hours in the same tequila sunrise. Her body fit right in my hands, la la la. You feel like oh la la la, yeah.
And your number 15 is How You Like That by Blackpink.
Down one from last week is Memories by Maroon 5.
I didn't say your name, cause I can't reach out to call you, but I know I will one day, yeah. Everybody hurts sometimes, everybody hurts someday, yeah, yeah. But everything gon' be alright, gon' raise a glass and say.
Thomas's are all good, although it's difficult to see. Number 13 is Intentions featuring Quavo by Justin Bieber.
That makes the news.
Can't nobody throw shade on your name in these streets. Triple threat, you a boss, you a bank, you a beast. You make it easy to choose. You got a mean touch, you can't refuse. No, I can't refuse it. Picture perfect, you don't need no filter.
Stuck With You is in at number 12 by Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber.
Ali tells me this at least three times a day. Number 11 is Adore You by Harry Styles. All right, guys. We're going to get into your Shazam Top 10 now.
Red Radio.
Live.
Broadcasting live worldwide.
And number 10 is Taken by Rosalia and Travis Scott.
Leche con azúcar, ella tiene medida brazuca, esa mami es una chica.
What a rot. Ali, you've never done this to me, but number 9 is You Broke Me First by Tate Moran.
How bad it hurts when you broke me first. You broke me first. Took a while.
And Break My Heart by Dua Lipa is down last week in the spot number 8.
Ali says this to me every time I mention football. Number 7 is Don't Start Now by Dua Lipa.
Don't show up. Don't come out. Don't start caring about me now. Walk away, you know how. Don't start caring about me.
And Miley Cyrus is in at number 6 with her single Midnight
Sky.
This is literally how it feels every time Thomas tries to make a joke. Number 5 is Rain On Me by Ariana Grande and Lady Gaga.
Heather is number 4 by Conan Gray.
By what is I for sore eyes, brighter sky, she's got you.
I still never understand this title. Watermelon already has sugar. Number 3 is Watermelon Sugar by Harry Styles.
On a summer evening, baby, you're the end of June. I want your belly and it's summer.
Dynamite is in at number 2 by BTS.
Ain't a star tonight, so watch me bring the fire, set the night light. Shoes on, get up in the morning, cup of milk, let's rock and roll. Kink out, kick the drum, rolling on like a rolling stone. Sing song when I'm walking home, jump up to the top of LeBron.
Ironically, this is the number 1 word everyone used in grade 7. Number 1 is Savage Love by Jason Derulo.
Okay, everyone. So David and I have a very interesting segment. David, do you want to explain it a little bit? David?
The segment is called Top 5 Most Sexiest Languages in the World.
We are very, very excited. Thomas has just pulled them up very quickly for us. And if I'm not mistaken, your number 5 sexiest language in the world is Arabic. Now, I don't know how to put on an Arabic accent. David, I don't know about you.
To be very, very honest with you, I have not a clue, Annie.
Okay, well then,
clue.
Let's just disregard number 5 and go on straight up there to number 4, which is Brazilian Portuguese, which I completely understand. Like, have you ever heard Sofia Vergara speak? And I know that's not Brazilian Portuguese, but like, I get that.
Is she the woman from Modern Family?
Yes.
Oh, wow, no, her accent is fantastic.
Okay, Dave, number three, which makes sense, although I absolutely hate it, is the French accent.
Bonjour, madame.
The language of love.
The language. That was so good. That was really good.
My dad actually lived in France for 8 years.
Oh my gosh! So does he have a bit of a French accent?
No, but he can speak fluent French. Actually, funny story. He went there to study a while ago, and he was telling me this a while ago at the dinner table. They lived in like this village kind of place. Like back in the day, there were like villages, and it was a really really nice community. And I was asking him. Because that was, like, back in the day. I was asking him, like, so, Dad, how was the racism there? Was there lots of racism or whatever? And he was telling me that it wasn't. Like, he didn't experience any racism whatsoever because the people there are so kind. Like, he didn't have a... This was before he bought his first car. Whenever he'd come out of varsity, there'd be literally someone every single day waiting to take him home without him asking. You know, just on their way. They are such kind people. Like, one of his best friends, every year, his parents would want to bring my dad over to their house to go on holiday, and the parents would get upset when my dad wouldn't come on holiday because they really liked spending time with him. It was such a nice story to hear, you know? Like, even
so
back
special.
In those days.
That is so special.
Yeah.
Okay, what number were we on? That's your top three, or top, I don't know, top four. Anyways, the next one on the list is Italian, and I am a disgrace to my Italian family because I actually am the worst Italian. I don't like cheese. I don't. I'm just fussy. But anyway, I can't do an Italian accent. Can you?
Wait, hold on. You don't like any type of cheese, like, whatsoever?
No, like, cheese on pizza, I can eat. Like, I enjoy a cheese on pizza. Don't give me a toasted cheese. Don't give me, I don't know, like what other cheese dishes can you get? Like, nachos, if there's cheese on that.
What sandwiches do you order at the tuck shop?
Oh, that's a very complicated question. So, I used to have toasted bacon, because that's delish. But then I decided I'm not big on bacon, so I just don't have toasted sandwiches.
So you'd rather...
I order toast. I order two slices of toast. It's delicious.
You'd rather order cooked bread and they put pig's meat in between.
Yes.
Than have a beautiful grilled toasted cheese melting in your mouth.
However, I will admit that recently I have enjoyed their low GI toasted cheese. That's quite nice. But yeah, no.
Yeah,
cheese just isn't for me.
And then I tried one.
Oh,
it was disgusting.
Oh, okay. Then clearly, David and I are never going to go on a date and have dinner because it's just not going to go well.
why would you ever... Like, what are the benefits of having low GI? Is it...
Long-lasting energy. Have you never heard that? Because it's low GI. I don't know. We learned this in bio about the monosaccharides and polysaccharides. And if I was honest with you, I can't remember anything. But anyway, Dave, I'm not going to reveal to you what the top... accent, the sexiest accent in the whole world is, according to this stupid website Thomas is located somewhere. You're going to hang on to find that one out.
You can now access Red Radio in more ways than ever, straight from the palm of your hand.
Red Radio Red Hill is where you can find us on your app store.
Or simply on redradio.co.za.
Red Radio, for the students, by the students.
Hello, David. You are the most beautiful person in this world. Your tantalizing and most beautiful face makes me scarum.
Scarum?
Ek lief jou. Ek lief jou, boet. Och, jy
is
mooi.
Ek is lief vir jou.
Jy
lief jou too, Tom.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm so glad we've now established what the sexiest accent in the world is, in case you didn't guess that it was Afrikaans. Kind of a shocker for me, Dave. I don't know. Is that the sexiest accent you've ever heard?
Certainly not, to be very, very honest with you.
That accent just gives me, like, it's time for braai in my head.
I guess it's just because I have so many, like, links with it, with Afrikaans class and, like...
Oh. Yeah. A traumatic experience.
I will never forget being in grade 4, and this was when, like... I don't know if everyone took Afrikaans at that point, but it was like a class taught subject. And I was sitting in my grade 4 teacher's name, who I will not be named. And does that make sense? Anyway, we're sitting in this class, and she's going on about the R clunk and the U clunk and the U clunk. And that's just will forever be my Afrikaans memory in my brain. The clunk.
What does that even mean?
It means
clunk.
Sound or noise or like the A sound, the C sound. Like, yeah. Anyway, so that's my Afrikaans knowledge.
When I was in grade 4, Ali, you know I almost chose Afrikaans. Remember when we had to fill in those forms?
Yes.
I chose Afrikaans at first. And then, you know, after chatting, and my reason for choosing Afrikaans was Google Translate helps me with the writing features in Afrikaans.
Yes. I went to Google Translate something in isiZulu and it didn't come up. Is there no Google Translate for isiZulu?
Oh, no, it's so much better now. It's like, it's fluent.
But
I almost chose Afrikaans and I almost ruined my entire life. But thank goodness.
I did choose Afrikaans. We did ruin our entire life.
That was the worst decision I've ever made.
But let me be honest with you. My decision was, do I take a subject where no one can help me? Mm-hmm. Where, like, there is, and you're right, there wasn't a Google Translate subject. Or do I take a subject where my mother's surname is Van der Merwe and I'm kind of set for life? Like, that, I'm going to be honest. That was my reasoning. If I had a homework or a speech, someone could help me translate. That was my thought.
But I think that was a lot of people's reasons, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people. For me, I didn't really have that dilemma either, because no one in my family spoke either languages.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
So it was all up to you, which is really nice.
Yeah. But there was someone at home named Vicky. She used to work in the house and she spoke isiZulu, so that was somewhat of a bonus. But let me tell you, in grade 5, isiZulu was the best subject in the world, because we used to play Go Fish every Friday, and it was like an isiZulu version of Go Fish. And when I tell you, that
was that called like Dorba or something?
Like, it was called Dorba.
Oh my word! I remember you guys talking about this.
Relationships ruined in that game. Yo, when I tell you, there was one day where someone exploded, and everyone was shook. No, man, what? That game brought out the worst.
I was always jealous of you guys, because you guys always had, like, not the free lessons, but, like, the fun lessons. And do you know what was the most exciting Afrikaans lesson I think I've ever had? Was my grade 6 or 7 Afrikaans teacher. We were learning about, like, sandwiches, or in a story we were reading about sandwiches. And for some reason, she was like, okay, guys, I want you to make your own sandwich tomorrow. Like, bring the ingredients. Like, it can be as creative as you want. And my group got so crazy. We all brought waffles and ice cream and, like, chocolate sauce, and we made a waffle sandwich. And that is my favorite Afrikaans lesson I think I've ever had in my life.
It's a beautiful story.
Thank you. I hold that one very close to my heart. Right. So if you've been living under a rock, you probably wouldn't know. But recently, and when I mean recently, I mean the last week, there was a Clicks ad, which I believe was actually under Tresemme. I don't know if Tresemme made the ad and Clicks, like, re-shared it. I'm not exactly sure. I need to look at that. But I do know that what was mentioned in that ad came across as very offensive, and rightfully so. Dave, I'm assuming you have seen this ad.
I have seen this ad.
Okay. So, for those of you who haven't, there is two pictures of hair. The first picture is of a white woman's hair, and I believe it says... Oh, no, sorry, I lie. The first picture is of a black woman's hair, and it says dry and damaged. And the picture underneath says, with a white woman's hair, says fine and thin, if I'm not mistaken.
Fine and flat.
Fine and flat. Okay, and it's advertising our product. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, Nando's and Dis-Chem have clapped back very cleverly, and I'm not entirely sure if these are legitimate. I've just been sent them through the power of family group chats. And the Dino's one says, Nando's dining is back. Don't worry, our chicken isn't dry or damaged, which is so typical Nando's, and I love it so much. And then the Dis-Chem one has hopped on this and said, shop now at Dis-Chem online. You're just a few clicks away, and the clicks is in a capital C, so you know exactly what's happening over there. And my favorite kind of humor is when it's online on Twitter and it's different brands hitting back at each other, and I'm sure David, you feel the same.
No, I love it. I love that Nando's and Dis-Chem are hitting back at them for it. Yeah, I think clicks, I don't understand how I wonder who's making those decisions. Like, which people are in the advertising agency that's making those decisions?
I don't understand.
How can you look at that ad and, like, have the sense to put it out?
You know what?
Right person, like,
Here's the thing. Mm. So, from what I understand, they've now fired the chief executive who runs that marketing branch that sent through that ad. And I think they've suspended all the people that were working on that, which is great. Right? And I think that needs to happen. Like, if that's not happening, then we are really living in a world of injustices. But now, my question is to call my white hair fine and flat isn't exactly a compliment either. And so I can understand maybe why Clicks thought they were doing themselves a favor by putting two pictures of hair up there. But I don't understand how somewhere along the line, like, I'm assuming this thing went through 20 people before it got to the final press release, whatever it is. Like, how does no one pick that up? How does no one say, look, guys, do we really want to put our brand next to this ad? Like, are we proud of this ad? I don't know, Dave. What's your opinion on this?
To be honest, I was on Twitter, and I went on to Clix's account because I wanted to see what their apology was saying.
Yeah.
And their apology reads, "We have made a mistake and sincerely apologize for letting you down." Like, here's my problem with that, right? I don't enjoy it when people call racism a mistake, because I don't think racism is a mistake.
Yes, like...
Right, like, racism is something that is built into our society.
Yeah.
It's not a mistake. Like, I'm not racist by mistake, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I thought they really weren't taking up responsibility and owning for that. But that was my two cents, and I did comment my two cents.
Did you? Wait, was this in your fake Twitter account? Or your real Twitter?
Sorry?
Oh, is this in your fake
Twitter account? Obviously, I don't have a real Twitter account anymore.
So some soccer fan, 1929, just commented on Texas Twitter, go look out, you'll finally find David's secret profile.
I wasn't kind at all, to be very honest. Yeah.
Okay,
I said, save the sweet talk. This is not a quote-unquote mistake.
Oh,
he has to call it one.
I'm just saying it now. David is going to be the guy that changes Twitter. I can feel it in my bones. David's going to take over Twitter one day.